11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who seek him. Yet over the last couple of weeks, we've also seen and observed that sometimes we struggle in our faith, and there are other people in the Bible that have also, through different events and circumstances, in seasons of life, maybe it's in difficulty and challenge, discouragement and despair, maybe even through sickness and through death, that they were sometimes challenged in our faith. And sometimes we wonder, well, really, where is God? And it would be maybe like the father who went to Jesus on behalf of his child, and Jesus said, do you believe? And he says, yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to believe, and I've got some foundation for belief, but there's still a struggle now in my faith and with my belief and my understanding. We come together as a church to worship God, and there's great value in us being together. And this is kind of why, the more I think about it, the more I study the scriptures, the internet church just does not work, because you can sit there and watch other people worship on your computer screen, but being together is much different. And maybe that'll come together a little bit more today when we talk about a man who was of the tribe of Levi. He had wrote several of the Psalms, 12 in all. His name was Asaph, and it's from Psalm 73, which David just read the first few verses. He is today what we would call the song leader or a worship leader or a choir master. And obviously, he's one who also wrote music, because that's what most of the Psalms are. He would be one of those people that David spent some time with, maybe as David was composing. I'm thinking David may have composed some music, but we know the Psalms that are attributed to David. He wrote the words, and maybe this man who would be somebody who was a Levite, he worked within the tabernacle at that time. The temple hadn't been built until the days of Solomon, the next generation. But they spent a lot of time maybe planning the worship and talking about the worship and thinking about how all this is going to come together, especially when it came to the singing. Now, we know the priests, even the high priest, would kind of take care of a lot of the formalities and maybe even the teaching within the gathering of God's people when they met on the Sabbath day. But David, we know, had a big role to play even in this idea of the music. But here is somebody who kind of, we today say he kind of works for the church. He's a part of the ministry team, however you want to look at that. But he is one who has committed his life to being a teacher, a leader, and helping the congregation to come to God, maybe even as he leads the singing. But he had struggles in his life. You know that? Sometimes even leaders, sometimes even elders or ministers and Bible class teachers, sometimes we have struggles in our life and sometimes we have questions. But he had a question that was pretty deep. He will eventually say that, I was not going to tell people when I was going through this where I was at, because it could have really destroyed some people. He would have been betraying the people of God. But he's saying, now I've come through, I have something I need to share with you, because he's thinking, if I've been through it, maybe you've been through it too. Maybe if I've had some struggles, maybe you have some life struggles too. And so he wants to share how he fell into the depths, but then how he could rise again. Maybe even to a better place. And maybe to a place where he can help other people. You know, sometimes I completely understand this for many of us that grew up in the church. Sometimes we feel like, well, I don't really have a huge story to tell, right? You know, I mean, I wasn't like the real bad guy when I was growing up. Well, I kind of was, but don't tell anybody. But you know, I kind of grew up in the church. I kind of knew kind of what God wanted. And so I had a different perspective than other people, especially when coming to Christ. But here's a guy, he's got a story that's very important to tell even to God's people. And so this is what he was struggling with as he was thinking about his life and the hurt that he even goes through in his mind and in his soul. So he starts out in Psalm 73 verse 1 saying, surely God is good. So there's no doubt about it. He's saying, truly, I know this. I am sure about God's goodness, that God. So first of all, he recognized there is a God. That's what we talked about with faith, right? God is starting. God is. I believe in God and I know God, but I don't just believe in some masterful being out there somewhere and we don't know him. Somebody who just created the world and left it alone. He says, I know God, I know him personally, and I also know of his character. Not only is he all-powerful, but he's good. God is good. And so even the songs that Joe led us in just before we started with the lesson, you know, these songs of sometimes struggle, but also seeing that God is good. I mean, maybe like us today, saying, you know, singing the song, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't always see it. I don't always get it. It doesn't always make sense. So we come together to worship and we can kind of connect these ways. And in our mind, we know it. But somewhere in our heart, there's a struggle. But God is good. So he's saying to Israel, they were the people of God. So if we could put it in today's language, God is good to the church, to the Christians, to those people who follow him. And those people, and again, he's not just blanketing all of Israel, but those who are pure in heart. Those people who really do seek him and want to know him, and they can worship him in spirit and in truth because their lives are constant in their relationship with God. God is good to Israel. God is good to the pure in heart. So he's seen how God's worked. There's other people who read in the Old Testament where they've seen kind of in the past. We know how God's worked, how he's blessed the people, how he's worked miraculously. And sometimes the question is, well, where are you now, God? I don't see you working today. I don't see you working in my life. And so he's going to work through this struggle as he's saying, okay, this is where I start. I know God is good, but, right? But I've got some struggles. I've got some questions. I've maybe my faith. What is this saying? My faith. What about my faith? Where am I going to go? But as for me, it may not be you, but I'll tell you where I'm at. He's personalizing this. For me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. I nearly slipped. I nearly fell. I nearly really hurt myself spiritually. I don't know. Could he be saying, I almost fell away? That's how deep this was? I almost fell through this struggle. Well, why do people fall? Why do people fall? Well, there's many different reasons. Sometimes it's the situation. It's the circumstance in which you're trying to walk. So somebody maybe has just polished the floor and there's a little bit of water still on the floor and you've got, maybe you're wearing your bowling shoes and you know, you get out there and it's just very slippery. It's the environment. It's the situation. It's the circumstances. That sometimes can make you slip. You got to be careful. You've got to be aware. Sometimes people slip because they're not paying attention. Right? So maybe this guy. Well, there's a sign there. Didn't you see it? Well, no, I was distracted. I was texting. I was doing something else. Right? Instead of focusing on, I need to be careful where I walk. I'm looking around. I'm looking around at everybody else. That sometimes is really awkward. Have you ever seen people do that before? You know, when they're maybe getting a big accolade and, you know, you always kind of picture that when people are at graduation day, they're going up to get their picture and they're like, yeah, look at me. And they trip and they fall and go, yeah, you didn't look so good. You know, but we did get that on camera. So it was funny, you know, but you know, you're looking around and you're seeing what other people are up to. Maybe you're thinking too much about yourself. You're not paying attention and it's easy to slip and to fall. But as for me, I almost slipped. I almost lost my foothold. So that may be a little bit more scary than just slipping and falling. Because slipping and falling, you hurt yourself. Foothold sounds like maybe you're climbing something like a mountain. And you know, you say you've got to get a good foothold. You got to make sure, because if your foot slips out, you can fall to your death. So you got to make sure you have a good foothold. But you've got to be careful. He's saying, this is where I am in my faith. I know God's good, but now I'm really struggling. So the question is, and this is a good question, what are you struggling with? Now the thing he struggles with maybe is the same thing we struggle with as Christians. You think, well, how could that be? Like this was written 3,000 years ago. How could he relate to me at all? What does he know about my life? Well, let's see what he says. These are some things he struggled with. For, this is my struggle, this is why, the for, I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So I look at these people in the world. They're not following God. They're not doing what he says. He'll go on to say they reject God. They mock God. They think they're God. And their whole life is built around themselves. And he's looking at them and he's like saying, maybe I should just be one of them. He envied the arrogant. They're so prosperous. He goes on to describe what they look like. They're healthy. I mean, why can wicked people be healthy and yet sometimes the righteous people are so sick? Why are the wicked sometimes happy and yet we suffer? Why do they seem to have things going for them and have lots of friends and we are very lonely? Sometimes are very discouraged. What is this that makes it that way? It just seems to be out of balance. Out of balance. Isn't that when people slip and fall, when they're out of balance? So we've got to find out what the balance is. So this is what he struggles with. He looks at other people and say, life seems to be so good for people that aren't Christians, yet for us, we struggle day by day. And it really doesn't seem to be fair. It's kind of saying, well, where is God in all of this? Why doesn't God bless me and curse them? I don't know what came first, but I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you fall into discouragement or even depression. You start thinking about yourself and you start thinking about other people. But the fact is, the way you think is not really based on reality. Because let me ask you a question. Even today, people that do not know Christ that are prospering, are they all in really good health? No. Are they all really happy? No. Do they all have really good family life? No. Do they not have any cares and worries of the world? No, they got lots of those. So, you know, so the way he is describing these people is kind of like he looks across the parking lot or across the street and he sees his neighbors and he thinks, boy, they seem to be doing so well and they seem to be so, they don't have the cares that we have. They don't carry the burdens that we have. But you know, sometimes when you're in the state of discouragement, depression, you don't see things clearly. But this is what he's going through as he's thinking about his faith. And trying to compare himself with that of others. This is a struggle that we have sometimes too. As Christians, we think, why me? Why me? It's not a bad question. Why not you? Maybe God allows things to happen into our life and events, circumstances, situations, so that we'll grow. So we'll be stronger. So we'll be able to minister to other people. And there's a lot of reasons why God may allow it to happen, but they do come into our life. But he still struggles with this over and over again, looking at others. Sometimes people come at it the other way, where things seem to be going fairly well in their life, and when they start comparing themselves to others, then they get depressed and discouraged. So you just have to be very careful when we're talking about living life in balance of saying, what does God want for me? And not always be comparing ourselves with what God wants or allows or even what he gives to others. So this is a struggle. How's he going to work through this? What's going to be happening? So this is kind of the conclusion at the beginning part where he's kind of feeling a little bit sorry for himself and yet also comparing himself to others. He's saying, I've done all this for nothing. I mean, I've been kind of a fool to be somebody who's following God. Like today saying, you know, I don't even know why I'm a Christian. I mean, what am I really getting out of it? What's the end of it all? How is this going to benefit me? I'm not sure if I should just, like, if I just gave it up and I became somebody of the world and immersed myself in all the, maybe even the sin and the wickedness of the world. Maybe I've kept my heart pure and washed my hands innocent in vain. Did all this for nothing. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? Question why? I mean, wouldn't it be easier to just leave it all behind and go back to the world in which I left and live in the world, for the world, live for myself? Wouldn't that just be better and easier? Isn't that the solution I need? Ultimately, could we be happy there? Do you think if you did that, you'd be, wow, this is, boy, I've been missing out on this all these years? It probably wouldn't be that way, right? I mean, you look at a lot of other people that have suffered discouragement, or could I use the word depression in the Bible? A lot of times it's because they were outside the will of God. Remember King David? He went through at least a year or two of depression. Like severe, we would call it clinical depression, because of his sin. Solomon, just read the book of Ecclesiastes, what is that? It's his depression. It's certainly a depressing book, you know. The struggles that he went through. He's just trying to find happiness and meaning. He's like, it's not in the world. Where do I go? Sometimes people even get depressed in the midst of doing God's will, don't they? Somebody like Job. I mean, I don't know. Would you call it depression if I stood up before you today and said, I wish I'd never been born. I cursed my mother for getting pregnant. Right? I said, boy, he's like Mr. Downer today. Right? But that's real. This is what people go through. And it's written, I think, for us to say, yes, these are struggles that people have. It's not just you. It's not just me. These are real struggles. Hopefully they're not all the time in our life, but sometimes we can go through something where, boy, we got more questions than we have answers. And so we need to work through to find maybe what is going on. When I try to understand why things happen the way they do, where is God in the midst of suffering? What about my concerns and my questions and my pain? Trying to figure it out. He says, boy, this was a burden too heavy to bear. It was oppressive. It was making me discouraged. So, I mean, he's really reaching at the bottom here. He's looking for something better, but he's still struggling, trying to figure it all out. Something happened, though. It was oppressive. It was discouraging. There was no answers. Lots of despair. But look what he says next. Till I went to the sanctuary. Till I went to that place where I could meet with God. Where I could be quiet and I could think. Where the scriptures were located. Where I could meet with God's people. And maybe even we share in the struggles together. And maybe somebody is there that just went through a similar struggle that I had and they could encourage me. Maybe to see the faith of others as they continue on this journey. Maybe somebody to encourage me as we sung the song, we'll understand it all by and by. But right now, yeah, we still are in confusion. We're not understanding it. But one day it will be clear. But there's something about coming together. And this is kind of what I was saying at the beginning with the internet church. But it's the coming together with people to worship God, to sing, to hear the word of God. Today we have the blessing of remembering Jesus, which just reminds us over and over again how much God loves us and how desperately he wants a relationship with us. Coming together until I went into the sanctuary. And there was something in the coming together and remembering that we are on a journey, a spiritual journey, Everyone is on a spiritual journey. Everyone is walking towards a spiritual home. And what he realized when he came and met with God, and met with God's people and worshiped, is that, yes, we are on this struggle. We are climbing this mountain, and sometimes it's slippery. Sometimes we have to get a good foothold because we don't want to fall, but we're climbing so that we can be with God. There are other people on a different kind of journey, and they're going down the mountain. They are descending to a lower region. And the final destiny for them is they're going to be living without God. Not just in this life, but for the rest of eternity. Forever, they're going to be without God. So again, it's the perspective, isn't it? It's saying there's more to this life than just the here and now. My faith is beyond even my questions. And my faith is even beyond my doubts. Because I can say, I just trust in God. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know where it's all going to end up. Because he told me that. So I'm going to keep walking with him. I'm going to be faithful with him. So this is the coming together of understanding not only their final destiny, but my final destiny. And God's going to be with me through it. Through the struggle, through the pain, through the doubts, through the questions. God's going to be with us as we continue to grow. Psalm 73, verse 25. I don't know if you've been here, but look what he's describing. My flesh and my heart may fail. I don't think he's talking about it. I think I'm going to die one day. He's saying, my flesh may fail me. My flesh may be ready to give up. My flesh is going to continue in this struggle. And sometimes I wonder, are we even making any progress? But more than that, my heart may fail. My heart may fail me. But there's something bigger even than our flesh. There's something bigger than our hearts. My heart may fail me. Because what is my heart? You know, sometimes I know it's more than emotion. Today we talk about the heart kind of being more emotional. Back in the Old Testament times, it was more than just emotion, but certainly emotion is a part of it. Decision, a commitment. So even that, doesn't it fail sometimes? Doesn't your faith in God fail you sometimes? I mean, God doesn't fail you. But our perspective of deep down inside, our soul. But even through that, what's he saying? Even though my heart and my flesh fail me, even though they fail, even though they give up, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So God's going to revive me. God's going to strengthen me. He's going to help me along. My portion simply means God is all that I want. He's all that I need. I mean, could we really say that? God is enough. I mean, as Christians, don't we really say, well, God plus my happiness is enough. God plus relationships is enough. God plus my money is enough. God plus my health, that's enough. God plus. But this is God only. God's enough. He's my portion. He's all I want. He's all I depend on. If I have nothing else but God, he's saying that's enough. That would certainly cut out comparing ourselves with other people all the time in their position and their power and their possessions. And we don't compare ourselves. I'm just like, man, God's enough for me. And you want to know something? If you've got all the other stuff and you don't have God, I feel sorry for you. As a matter of fact, I want to help you to know God. Because your stuff and everything in this world means nothing. There's nothing, that's what the psalmist would say, there's nothing in this world that I want but God. Paul says, you know, I've counted all as rubbish. So, like, tomorrow's garbage day for us. Paul's like, you know, all that stuff, I already took it to the curb. I mean, it's gone. I mean, he still could have some stuff, but somebody says, what does that mean to you? He says, that means nothing. I have a house. It's a place for me to sleep. If I didn't have the house, I'd be sleeping at your house. It means nothing to me. It's not my status symbol. It's not something I take pride in. As a matter of fact, it's something I don't even want to claim. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's a tool to be used for something much greater, for the kingdom of God. But if God wants to take it all away, that's okay. Now, that's hard to say sometimes, isn't it? Because we've invested and we've poured our lives into it, and this is a status symbol, and so it's hard. But no, God, He's all I want. He's all I need. So this is what he says to God. God, I'm always with you. I've made a commitment. I'm going to stick with you. But you see, it's not all dependent on me, because if it was, I'd be falling. I wouldn't make it. So previously he said, God is my strength. It's not all based on my strength to hang on to him. What does this say? God's the one who holds me by my right hand. So what is he? He's not saying I'm holding God's hand. Because if I held God's hand, it would just be really easy for me to let go and say, I think I'm going that way this time. No, God's holding my hand. Because he wants to lead me. He wants to guide me. He wants me to walk in his paths. So again, the picture is that of a father walking with maybe a little child, making sure that they're going the right way, going in the right direction. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you take me into glory. That's his hope. Just to walk with God. Then we'll be taken into glory. Yeah, it means you've got to give up some of the glory now. The glory days. For a Christian, the glory days are coming. For people that are not Christians, their glory day is today. And the best they can do today is the best it's ever going to be. It's only going downhill from here. Right? When they die, it's a long way down. They've lost it all. Whom have I in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. God's it. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be committed to him because of who he is. Because he has been with me. He's fulfilled his promises. And he's got something planned even better than I could imagine. So he ends is it a song? Is this something that they would have sung on a regular basis? Again, it seems a little negative, I guess, at least at the beginning. But it's got a very powerful ending. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. So a refuge is something you would go to in the time of trouble, maybe in the time of storm. It may be the picture of being out on the waters and a storm is coming along and you want to get to the shore. You want to secure it to the dock. You want to find a place where there's shelter. Maybe a place of refuge is that in time of war. Maybe you realize that you are being defeated and you want to find some place that is safe to go, a safe house or somewhere where you can find protection from the enemy so you won't be drugged down and even killed, a safe house, need a place of refuge. For some of us, maybe our homes are our place of refuge when we feel the pressures from the world and the strain from the job and maybe the challenges of other people. So we can go home and close the door and turn off all the electronic devices and just find solitude and peace and comfort. We find refuge. That's where we find it. Spiritually, maybe you come to be with God's people for refuge, whether it be on Sunday or a Tuesday Bible class or Wednesday evening or, maybe in small groups. Maybe you meet with a good friend on a regular basis to find refuge. But ultimately, God is our refuge. He's the one we run to. He's the one who's going to protect us. He's the one who's going to save us. He's the one who's going to make things better. He's the one who's going to give us a new perspective on life so we don't get drugged down by all this thinking of comparing ourselves with other things going on. A refuge. God is our refuge. He is our place where we can run to. And at the end of the day, what is he able to do? He's saying, See, now I've kind of got a story to share. I got a message to tell. So I can confidently and boldly share with other people what I've learned, what I've gone through, how God has been there for me, how my faith, instead of being crushed and destroyed, it was challenged, but it became stronger. So now I'm able to tell of the great deeds, the glorious deeds, the wonderful deeds of God. Not just how he worked 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, but how God has worked in my life. A story to share. Think about that. You know, I know sometimes we talk about how do we share our faith? What kind of story would we tell? Or how do we start a conversation? Maybe when we really think about our lives, what God has done, maybe even there's a recent story that we could share with somebody, how God has blessed us. And that would be an opening. You know, it's not the whole gospel to tell people how God has blessed your life or helped you through a struggle and a trial, but maybe that's the beginning of sharing Christ so that you can tell the full gospel, how they too can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and they can understand the blessing, the comfort, the security, the refuge that we find in Christ. If we can encourage you today in your faith, perhaps there's people today that are ready to say, I want that. I mean, I've had enough mess in my life. I've done enough wrong. I living without God is not what I want. So we always give the invitation, if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, who will lead you to the Father, who's gone to prepare a place in heaven for everyone that loves him and follows him. So if today you want to be baptized into Christ to begin a brand new start, a new life, to be born again, if we can encourage you in your faith, we'll stand, we'll sing the song, and let us know how we can be a blessing to you today.